0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we move towards a big midweek in the Scottish Premiership. Dundee v Rangers is on and at Dens Park tomorrow, with Philippe Clement's side looking to bounce back from weekend disappointment. The post-split fixtures are out, with the Old Firm scheduled for Saturday the 11th of May, and Aberdeen announce Jimmy Tellin as new manager, taking over in the summer. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight you have Kenny Miller and Gordon DL. What a weekend we had, Gordon DL, and the big games, the big talking points are coming thick and fast.
Yeah, I think when we all left the studio on Saturday after the Celtic result, you would be looking at Dingwall thinking, right, Rangers have got two games, Dingwall and obviously Dens Park tomorrow night, weather permitting. And you were thinking, but this time next week, going into semi-final, probably be top of the league. But Ross County had something to say about that. I thought Ross County deserved it. I thought they were excellent. Rangers were very, very poor. It's opened it right up now. It's a pressure game tomorrow night. They cannot afford to drop anything against Dundee. And then we look forward to two terrific semi-finals at the weekend.
Absolutely. Again, I have to reiterate what you said there. I think Ross County were excellent. You know, Rangers well, well off the boil. A performance that Philippe Clement will not be happy with. So many aspects of it as well. It's not just the fact that you've lost the game. It was how easy it was for Ross County to create chances and score goals. And Gordon, you've just gave me the stat there. It's the highest, I know people might not like to hear that, the XG against Rangers for a long, long time. I mean, let's be honest, Ross County could have had five or six goals. I mean, the lad Harman, before he actually scored, missed his two huge opportunities in the first half. So it was really disappointing. I say that the biggest thing was I didn't really see too much of a response from the players. And like you said, too easy to create chances and score goals in that, and particularly in that second half.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. So let's hear all of your thoughts on the day's big talking points, and there are many. It is Tuesday night, so the weekend still lingers on. If you couldn't get through last night, Rangers fans, where did it go wrong? Where does this leave the title race? That would of course apply to you Celtic fans as well. Bringing up to speed today, what do you make of the news that Dens Park has been deemed playable? The game will go ahead tomorrow night and it'll be at Dens. There was a plan B at McDermott Park. That won't happen. It will be at Dens Park. It'll go ahead as planned. What do you make of that news? The post-split fixtures are out. We had all sorts of theories making their way over to us on Twitter last night as to why they hadn't been announced yet. Well, they have been announced now. So there we go. We know what lies in wait. Celtic fans, you'll be looking at that trip to Kilmarnock perhaps. Of course, you'll all be circling the Celtic Rangers game on the 11th of May. But for teams up and down the country, every single team in the top flight, a really interesting day when the post-split fixtures are announced. So what jumps out for you there? Aberdeen fans, you know you're going to have a new manager and you know who that man will be as of the start of next season. What do you make of that? We didn't even get round to reacting to Lewis Ferguson's injury, which will rule him out of the Euros last night, and maybe Nathan Patterson added to that list, looking at what happened in the late game in the English Premier League last night. There is so much for your Tuesday night, so come on down on 0141 951 1025. It is a proper strap yourselves in for the end of the season, Gordon, because we've been on this show a long time, and sometimes, this is what people maybe don't realise, sometimes these are the shows that get a bit quiet for us. April, the league's maybe looking like it's going to be done, the teams are all out of Europe. Midweek can get a little bit quieter. This season is going to be the absolute opposite of that.
No, it's definitely not going to be quiet, because I think the running is going to be very exciting. You've seen the fixture list come out. You would probably look at that fixture list. Celtic get 3 home, 2 away. Rangers 2 home, 3 away. Some difficult games in there. I said that once these fixtures come out, Gordon, I always maintained that the 11th of May, Celtic Park, is so, so important for both teams. But I look at Rangers after Sunday, and I think they'll need to concentrate on tomorrow night. They cannot afford to slip up at Dens Park tomorrow night. Now, we know the state of the pitch. Obviously, there was a plan B to take it to McDermott Park. But if you're Dundee, You're wanting to play at home, you want to play on your own pitch. It ain't going to be pretty, but Rangers need to do a lot better than they achieved on Sunday and go up to Dens and dig out a real important 3 points getting into a semi-final against Hearts that weekend.
In your absence, I launched a manhunt, if you like, last week, inspired by you. But I have to say, it didn't cast up any results. I was looking for, is there anyone else on this earth who was lucky enough to be at Rangers 3, Celtic 3 and Real Madrid 3, Man City 3 in the same week? You were at both. I said, is there anybody else who had that type of footballing week? No response. You might be the luckiest football observer in the world.
It was incredible. You know what, when you say within a week, within 4 days of each other, it was an incredible...
What was your most enjoyable game?
Well, listen, I thought the Old Firm was really exciting. You know, after in the second half, Man City, Real Madrid was sensational. It really was, and what a start to it. But it was. I'm always going to edge for the Old Firm. Maybe not of the quality that was on show, but excitement and things was... It was incredible. I'll tell you, in that game though, the goal, the standard of the goals, Real Madrid, Man City, was absolutely incredible. You know, the volley for Valverde, Phil Foden again, just kind of going on in an incredible season. It was a top game. Really enjoyed it. First time I've been to Bernabeu as well.
I've got to say, I can't believe you've never played there.
Would you swap Dessers for Haaland, or would you?
Maybe just that.
Just edges it.
Anyway. Roy Keane went.
Well, I know that, yeah.
I know to start. Right, anyway, enough about Kenny's gallivanting. 01419511025. That's the number you need. Tuesday is usually about lingering thoughts from the weekend, and I think that will still be the case. It all feeds into talk about fixtures and pitches and everything else that we've got to look forward to between now and the end of the season. So 01419511025. Get your thoughts in right now, please. What do you make of the fact the game's on tomorrow and as planned? I feel like everyone, for some reason, had, you know, maybe just scarred by the last couple of weeks. I feel like everyone expected it to not be. We were so focused on the contingency, on the plan B.
Yeah,
I think everyone's kind of thought it would be there instead.
I thought it would have ended up at McDermott. I've got to go on. Yeah, but I looked at the weather forecast. I don't think it's too bad tonight and tomorrow.
Says a man who was golfing today, clearly. Yeah. Keeping an eye on these things.
Yeah. Fingers crossed that no rain will come, a late rain, and probably put it in doubt again. But it's quite a difficult one for Rangers. You know, they'll need to bounce back. The pitch will be not the greatest, so they've got to go up there and show a real bit of character. I thought they lacked a bit of character at the weekend. There was no fight for me. I thought one or two of the players looked off it. But all credit to Ross County. I thought they were excellent. They got at Rangers, caused them all sorts of problems. But they will need to show big character tomorrow night against Dundee, who, you know, they'll still be celebrating top six. Good result for them at Pittodrie.
As in hungover from celebrating top six?
No, they'll be good to go. And they'll be looking forward to a good game in front of probably a large crowd.
Let's bring in Rab, who's in Northampton. How's it going, Rab?
Hi, all right, panel.
What are your thoughts tonight, Rab?
Well, I'm a bit miffed and a bit angry, to be quite honest with you. I was on last week, obviously, about the Rangers and Dundee game. Mm-hmm. And I think the SPL and SFA, I've got a lot to answer. Because they came out, was it yesterday, and says, if the game goes ahead at Dundee, fair enough, if not, with McDermott Park. I honestly believe, and I think quite a few Rangers fans honestly believe, I think the SFA and the SPL have bent over backwards to help Dundee, where Rangers are the victims here. You know what I mean? It's totally unacceptable. They've done two pitch inspections last week. One in the morning, say the game is playable. Then they've done another one in the afternoon, knowing fine well it was going to be cancelled. So why the hell have they done a decision today? What happens if it rains tomorrow? Why don't we just keep it at McDermott Park, or was it ever going to be at McDermott Park?
Well, I think you've almost answered your own question. You say keep it at McDermott Park. It was only McDermott Park if Dens failed the pitch inspection, which it didn't. And I take your point. Last week, then, you know, the rain made it worse as the day went on. But, you know, the pitch is obviously, it's playable now. It's very playable now. They've looked at the forecast and assessed that it's not going to deteriorate to a point where it's not playable. Philippe Clement wanted an early decision. Rangers fans obviously wanted an early decision. I think the full of Scottish football wanted an early decision. I'm not really sure what you mean by this is all sort of some sort of anti-Rangers pro Dundee move. You would hope they would bend over backwards to get the game on at Dens, would you not?
Well, I don't know. I just think they've done two inspections last week and all of a sudden they've done one today. Deemed it, well, we know the pitch is an absolute mess and I don't think it's up to SPL standards, which is a sort of disgrace. And I just feel as if Rangers have had a disadvantage in all this, especially in the past few weeks. And it's no sour grapes because obviously we deserve to be beat on Sunday. But all this unrest and games in hand, and it's no helping. And I just think the SPL and the SFA need to come out and give people answers, the genuine fans that have spent money and lost money because of all this. It's just an absolute disgrace.
I'm kind of confused at the 2 points joining up because I think Rab's right. Like, nobody's pretending the last couple of weeks have been ideal. Everybody would have wanted to avoid it. But this idea that, you know, Dundee have not... They've suffered through this as well. They also need to play on this pitch tomorrow. If it's bad, I mean, it's been deemed playable. Look, it's been a rotten situation all round, and we need to make sure it doesn't happen again. But I don't know, Rab. It feels like Rab's suggesting it's somehow been engineered to disadvantage Rangers, which I don't quite get.
Listen, it's not been engineered at all in any way, shape, or form to hinder Rangers' chances of winning a league title. What has happened in, over the last couple of weeks, with the games being off, it has, through an uncertainty, it has in terms of the preparations for the games, it has then threw back into a game in hand, which, listen, the weather's the weather. You know, there's nothing anybody can do about that. What needs to happen, what you say is going, is the most important part, that this doesn't happen again next year. We're talking about a top six team now in our country who have had, what is it, five games now cancelled over the course of the season, and their pitches is no good enough. So there needs to be something done moving forward into next year that doesn't happen again. In terms of Rangers, they've just got to go and win now. You know, that's it. All the excuses out the way, and this is a, like, for our players and perspective, and Philip Clement's, they've got the game tomorrow night. They've had a poor result in performance on Sunday. They have to go up there and win, irrespective of if there's rain or no rain or whatever the game is. 3 points is an absolute must.
I agree. Listen, Dundee are quite right to try and make sure they play at their home pitch, because obviously that's what they want to do. If they go to McDermott Park, it's obviously a neutral ground, so it would probably favour Rangers more. If it doesn't rain, I watched it. I know the pitch maybe be a little bit different, but I watched the highlights of the Motherwell game, and there was a lot of sand in the pitch, but the pitch actually played okay, and you've seen that Motherwell dealt with that very well indeed, coming back for 2-0 down. So Rangers have got to go there with the mindset, like, okay, the pitch isn't like Ibrox, it's not got a bit of bowling green, but this is a test of character. And it's a test of character after the weekend, because a lot of the players have come in for a lot of criticism from Rangers fans. So that's a big test tomorrow night, and I'll guarantee you, if it's is at Dens Park, Dundee will fancy their chances because they're not the worst team.
Are you worried, Rab, that all this disruption then to preparation, added to the fact that it was a bad day on Sunday, you worried that this all impacts Rangers tomorrow?
Oh, but I don't know where you start, you know what I mean? I just think Rangers are at a disadvantage, and as I said, obviously Sunday we're a bit disappointed, but I think a lot has got to do with all this sort of getting up there last week for the Dundee game, hanging about and all that, and preparation is certainly sort of affected Rangers a wee bit. But I think, in all honesty, you know what I mean, with the games in hand, the games that have been on, you know what I mean, we've been looking at sort of probably Rangers on top of the league, especially the run we were on and the way we were playing. But it just...
So you go, you know, it's had that big an impact for you. You think actually the situation Rangers find themselves in the league now, with Celtic being favourites, you think that's largely down to this pitch stuff?
Well, I wouldn't say largely, you know what I mean? I don't want to be sour grapes on Sunday, you know, but the warnings were there in the first half. You could quite clearly see that. But, you know what I mean, I'm not putting the old blue tinted glasses on, but I do generally think that all this sort of disruption, all the media involvement and all these conspiracies and all that, you know, Dundee, you know, they're doing this on purpose. No, I don't believe in that, but I do generally believe that has took an impact on actual Rangers team and management. And and it was there on Sunday. I just been off the boil.
Kenny, it strikes you as having to sort of find that line, because I am sure it was not an ideal week. Philippe, come on, you know, predicted it. Didn't want to lose a day's training. That's not what you would choose. Is it enough to even remotely justify the way Rangers played and losing in Dingwall?
No,
that would be the question.
No, it's not at all. If you're going Saturday to Saturday, or even Sunday to Saturday, Sunday to Sunday, even that, you've got your week. You'll have your kind of set ways. You'll have your set day off, and on each day you'll know exactly what you're doing. Again, your 2 days kind of before the game will be your prep days and things. So that is thrown into a bit disarray. Even if you've got a game. So had the game been on, what you would have had is players playing another 90 minutes on a heavy pitch up in Dundee going into that game on Sunday. So I don't really understand that the preparations have been thrown been in disarray over the last couple of weeks with these two cancellations. But I don't think, in terms of the performance that we've seen on the Sunday, that would have had too much an impact on it. Let's say you've actually no had the exertions of actually going and playing a tough 90 minutes up at Dundee on the Wednesday on a really heavy pitch to then go and have to go up to Dingwall on the Sunday and perform.
Keep saying it, not ideal, Gordon. But again, if, you know, there's been so much talk about this. Is it going to get played in the lead up to a Celtic game? Is it going to get played? You know, then it got rescheduled for this week, which is the lead up to a semi-final. I get it. It's been a really poor situation all round. Do you wonder if I'm pretty certain Philippe Clement can't allow his players to lean into that as being an excuse?
No, you can't, because they got a free week before Ross County. Now, I know what they're saying about missing a day's training or whatever, but he would have trained Tuesday, went to a hotel, you get a day off, he's playing Sunday. You get the full week to prepare. So I don't think Rangers fans are going to buy into any excuses from that. I thought they were just out fought and beat on the day by a good Ross County side that looked a lot more hungrier. That's why tomorrow night becomes so important. They can't even start to think about Sunday for the semi-final. That'll take care of itself. If they want to be champions and if they want to stay in this league, closing down Celtic, tomorrow night is massive for them. They cannot afford to draw Pennon tomorrow night.
Thank you to Rab. Let's bring in Yvonne. What's your take on it all, Yvonne? Hello, Yvonne.
Hiya. I was a wee bit mistaken. Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I've got you loud and clear. On you go.
Hello.
Yep, all good, Yvonne.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear us? Last chance. Yvonne, can you hear us?
The first one, that was just little points. The first one is, hello?
Yeah. Right, let's try and speak. We'll speak to Yvonne in a second. It's like, there's nothing worse. Yvonne will be going through the Clyde Tunnel or something. I actually just had a very similar conversation with my wife on the way here. How annoying is that when you can't hear someone on the other end and you're not quite sure? Then it comes back in. The problem is, this is playing out on live radio in front of like lots and lots of people. It's just not ideal.
Yeah, she's in the tunnel.
We'll try again in a second. Let's pause. 0141 951 1025. We've got pitch, we've got fixtures, we've got title race, we've got all sorts going on. Get in touch. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Gordon DL, with any luck, are about to be joined by Yvonne, who's on the line. How are you, Yvonne?
I'm very good, thank you. Yourself?
It sounds good this time. Take it away.
Yeah, so I've got 3 points for you tonight. The first one is, the codswallop I'm hearing about, the league being over, Rangers fans saying, I'm a Rangers fan, the league's over because Ross County beat us. Ross County, for me, were hungrier and wanted to win more, and I'm sure you've covered that already. My second point from that is, quite simply, the league's still in either Celtic or Rangers' hands. You know, if Rangers go undefeated to the end of the season, they're going to be champions. So I don't understand all of the panic that's going on. And thirdly, and the one I'm probably want to focus on more is the reaction of Philippe Clement after Rangers lost at Dingwall. He just down the tunnel, apparently. And for me, that's the first time I've been disappointed in him from he came to Ibrox.
Yeah, Liz, he was asked about that after the game. I can give you his explanation before the guys give us theirs.
I went inside directly, but I will shake hands with him directly after. No problem.
Was that just frustration? Or did you...
No, I wanted to prepare really well what I had to say to the team. So nothing towards him. A lot of credit for him, what he's been doing here, and a lot of respect towards him also.
What did you make of that? He did come out the tunnel at some point after that and see Don Cowie. Don Cowie said he had no issue with it. You take exception. It's still better to just do it at the time.
I thought it was poor. If I'm totally honest, you leave yourself open, especially after a defeat. Everybody noticed it. Everybody noticed that he just went right down the tunnel. Okay, he did come back. Don Cowie, you just quite rightly said, Gordon, he had no problem whatsoever shaking hands after. But I think if you're a Rangers manager and he's come in with a lot of pats in the back for what he's achieved, and he deserves it, and I think he's turned the club round, but he sets the standards. I'm not buying into, well, I had to go down and get prepared, and that it was a 2 second situation. He left himself open, and he's come in for a bit of criticism, not just from other fans, but from some of the own fans, because he's got to set the example there. And I thought it was poor. I've got to be honest with you.
I 100% agree. I think how he's came in and conducted himself since he came in, he has set the standards. He's been a class act. Win, lose or draw, you've got to go and shake the opposing manager's hand straight away. Going down and being prepared, listen, you've got plenty of time to do that. You can shake the hand and then go on and actually take your time and take a moment. So he's been clearly disgusted with the performance and the result, because it's left his team now. Yes, Yvonne's right, it's still in Rangers' hands, it's still in Celtic's hands. But at that point, you have to still conduct yourself with the class that he has shown since he's came in, and that would have been straight congratulating Don Cowie on his job and then go on and deal with his team afterwards.
So you don't think Yvonne the weekend was as damaging to Rangers' title chances as some people are suggesting?
No, because it's exactly the same. It's still in their hands. However, I was really disappointed with the hunger. There seemed to be no hunger. It was like Rangers were sitting waiting on things to happen and thought they would happen and didn't. And, you know, they didn't go and make things happen, which they had been doing. Just overall a disappointing performance. However, well done to Ross County. They were hungrier. They looked fitter and they looked like they wanted it more than Rangers did. And that's quite sad for me at this stage of the season when we can still win the title.
Yeah, what do you think, Kenny? Because I've heard this a lot and it's undeniably true. If Rangers win all the remaining games, they win the title. So people Rangers fans are finding solace in that. But then obviously they could have drawn at Celtic Park. Yeah. And by the way, I also think people might be getting ahead of themselves. We're about to talk about the post-split fixtures. There are no guarantees that both sides win all the remaining games. Yeah. But let's go on the assumption that many people are making then. Rangers could have gone to Celtic Park, drawn, whereas now the chances are, maybe not, that they need to go there and win. So yes, I get, win all your games, win the title, but as if that's going to be an easy thing to do. It must have been damaging at the weekend.
It was damaging. It absolutely was damaging, because it's not just about the result and what it then means. Like you say, you've covered it perfectly. Rangers, had they won their games, they could have went to Celtic Park and took a draw, which clearly is going to be easier to do. Yep. But easier to do than actually go there and win. Again, Rangers' record at Celtic Park's not been great over the last few seasons, so it's changed in that respect. Yes, it's in their hands. What I would say is, the other side of it is, I think 5 months ago when Philippe Clement came in, had you say to any Rangers fan, if we need to go and beat Celtic at Celtic Park post-split, they would have ripped your hand off to win the league. So it's just been where Philippe Clement's took the team to, and it has been, they've been in control. You know, had they beat Ross County and had they beat Dundee and they're 2 points clear at the top of the league, if they win their games, they had the luxury of going there not needing to win. Whereas now, they will need to go to Celtic Park and win. There's no doubt about
what
it.
What did Sunday do for your belief that Rangers can win this title?
I think tomorrow night will tell its story, Gordon, for me. I keep harping on about it, but if you're Dundee, you'll fancy it, because you looked at the way Ross County went about their business. They upset Rangers, outfought them and deserved their win. Rangers can't afford that tomorrow night. They need to roll their sleeves up. It puts Celtic in a very, very strong position. You look at the fixtures that have come out. Celtic have got 3 games at Celtic Park as well, and only 2 away. I think everybody touches on the most important one, obviously, on the 11th of May. And then you've got Kilmarnock, which is, you know, I was at the Kilmarnock game, Celtic, the last one, and I thought Celtic were really poor second half. Kilmarnock just outplayed them. So that's going to be difficult. But if you're sitting there now and you're looking at a favourite between Celtic and Rangers, I think just by the fixtures and everything that's going on, I would just still tip Celtic to win the league. I tipped them at the beginning of the season, I'm staying with
them. That bit that you mentioned in there, Yvonne, about you felt Ross County wanted it more. Sometimes we hear that when a team doesn't get a victory, but it feels like a lot of Rangers fans agree with you. How worrying is that?
It is very worrying because, I mean, Rangers have obviously been behind Celtic for years and years and years, apart from the Steven Gerrard title win. And, you know, they could have went there, they could have got a victory. They were lucky to get a draw at Celtic Park, in my opinion, because Celtic been two up. I'd have bit your hand off for a draw then as well, and they managed to get that. So I'm hoping tomorrow night, sitting watching it, I'll not be biting my fingernails. I'm hoping there's a reaction and they get out and they win quite comfortably tomorrow, just to put a wee bit of confidence back into the team and for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, let's hear from Philippe Clement. He says even the best teams have off days. He's been watching the Man City treble documentary and says he saw plenty of those moments.
I had some clear words after the game, and the next day we made a good debriefing about what went wrong individually, collectively, and how we can make it better again. In French, they say accident de parcours, off day, I think you say in English. It's the first time in 6 months that I see my team like that, so I was disappointed also about that. But I think every manager has these moments, even with teams that win amazing things. I've been watching now this series about the treble of Man City of last year, and I saw quite a few of those moments in this docu. Doesn't mean that I want to see it back on Wednesday, of course, but it's part of the game. It's not something that you want, not the players, not the manager, not the fans, nobody. But the most important thing is how you react after that. And I have a good feeling around that, so that I will see the real face of my team again.
What do you make of that? You know, an off day is the phrase that jumps out. There was another quote saying that, you know, because they got stick for losing to Motherwell, Ibrox said it was a freak accident, that game. We could have won 6-1. Not sure my fellow ML1 dwellers would agree with that sentiment, but
no, listen, I hear what he's saying, and he's quite right to say, look, we had an off day, but it was the way they lost.
It was a very off day, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it was just the manner, and I think the Rangers supporters that have been on the show tonight, they're seeing the same thing, a bit concerned. But he's right, it's how they react. The reaction's got to be tomorrow night, because I keep going back to, if they don't get anything at Dundee, for me, they can kiss any chance of getting the title, because Celtic won't drop that many points. But I do agree with him. There's times when your players, they just don't play as well to their possibility. But what I thought on Sunday was, they didn't show a bit of character for me. You can't go out and Kenny will tell you, you can't go out and play well every single game. So you've maybe got to do a little bit of harder work, harder running, you know, cover more ground to try and make up for it if you're having a bad day. Because you remember, Ross County were they're fighting for their lives as well. They're sitting down that relegation, and that was a great result for them. So you knew on Sunday, the one thing Ross County are going to get is they're going to give you commitment, and they've got to go after you and try and upset you, because that's the only way they could have beat Rangers. And their plan worked.
I always think that, you know, they wanted it more is quite and it's an easy go-to, yeah. Kenny. But at the same time, if you as a team even allow that to be a suggestion at this stage of a title race, you probably do have worries.
I think that's why I agree with Yvonne to an extent. The fact that at this stage of the season, you have seven games before yesterday to go and win a league trophy, and then you turn up like that, and no hunger again. No hunger, no desire. The other team wanted it more. These are all just phrases. Like you say, they've left themselves open to get thrown at them. You know, but what it means is, when I'm looking at the game, I'm seeing guys track back. Like, a lot of the goals were from transition moments, you know, and I'm looking at guys getting back. Are they getting back into shape? Are they trying to get back behind the ball to stop a goal with everything they've got? I think the answer to that is no. because I didn't see a real urgency to get back and put out the fire that was actually starting when Simon Murray's going down that left hand side. So it was I think that's where fans look at it and think, right, okay, that's where no hunger, they wanted it more. That's when that comes into it, because the goals the Rangers lost were really, really disappointing. And Philip Clement has prided himself, I think, on how good his defensive mm-hmm. record has been. We've talked about it on the show so much, particularly the away record. But like you say, that could have been 5 or 6 goals for Ross County. Very similar goals as well to how they've actually came about and how they were created. So that'll be an area of real concern. And I'd like to say, I think I understand why fans are using mm-hmm. these type of phrases.
Thank you to Yvonne. Let's bring in Jamie, who's on the line. How are you, Jamie?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, thank you. Good. What are you thinking tonight?
I just wanted to say that I think the league have got to bring some rules in of some sort to ensure that something starts happening again. So maybe that clubs have got to spend a minimum percentage of profit on their pitch to keep up to standard. Because I just think things like this just don't give the league a good look to what it actually is, makes it look worse than it is to outsiders.
Yeah, I don't know what that would be. I mean, the percentage of your revenue or your profit is going to look very different then for Celtic and Rangers, or, you know.
And what if you have their profit versus, and you don't need to spend
the other club? But I think the general yeah. point Jamie makes, I don't know if that's something we can enforce or how you do it, but something, it does feel like this Dundee situation should be a turning point in some way yeah. about how these things are handled.
You've got to address it, Gordon. We can't have that happening next year. Dundee will need to address it. I know that they're talking about a new stadium and everything. They come up for the championship, and their aim was to stay in the Premier League. Now, they spent probably most of their budgets on new players, because they obviously signed a lot of new players.
I mean, they did do work in their pitch in the summer.
Yeah.
Relayed it, but obviously something's gone wrong.
Yeah, maybe.
Drainage issues or whatever.
Yeah, so, and you can't just keep, you know, I heard the club secretary, Eric Drysdale, talking about climate change, and you shake your head when you hear things like that. It's ridiculous. So I don't think next year, I think they've got to be sat down and said, look, because Kenny's right, they're a top six club. Yeah, this game's going on Sky. You're wanting to promote your game, your Scottish game. And you can't, you know, you're looking at a pitch there that will be just full of sand tomorrow night. The pitch will be probably in a bad state. So I think it's got to be addressed, and we can't allow this to happen. Because it, and going back to, because what happens is it punishes the supporters. How many supporters exactly. in the last few days, the last two postponements, have taken time off work, travelled up, spent money? So it's the supporters that's getting it.
If it was me in the SPFL boardroom, I'd be saying, look, the reason this cannot happen again is because we can't have people like Gordon DL talking about climate change on the radio. I mean, seriously.
Be happy with
that. Honestly, things you never thought you would hear. Jamie, what do you make of the fact that it is on tomorrow and it's at Dens and it's not at McDermott Park?
I think that was the best solution. Make sure all the fans can actually get there for the ticket they've bought. But I don't know. Especially for Dundee, who are a good footballing team. I just feel like, I just feel sorry for some of the Dundee players, because they're playing good football but in a really bad pitch.
Yeah, we keep mentioning this example, and I think the Netherlands, you know, their European participants forego some of their European money to help make sure all the pitches in the league are at a certain standard. I don't know if it's specifically that, if that works here, Jamie, but does it need to be something like that going forward?
Yeah, just something, just even just wee things, but because I just don't think it's a good look for the league. I just think, why are players of this quality playing on such bad pitches?
Yeah, I think Jamie makes a fair point in what's probably been lost. Look, Dundee as a club have had a lot of stick, will get a lot of stick, and I'm sure they deserve some of it, all of it, you can decide. But it's not like Tony Docherty wants to play on that. It's not like the players do either. Where Rangers have obviously been inconvenienced is the fact that they've had to travel twice, and certainly for fans who are travelling. But it's not like Dundee haven't, yep. you know, had a, in terms of the footballing staff, had a tough time as well. I feel like that's maybe got lost a little bit.
That's a really good point. I think Andy made it last night as well about the Dundee players, that they've actually got some really, really good football players, and they're the ones that have to play on that pitch every single week, and they've done a very good job over most of the season. They've got themselves into the top six, but I'm thinking of like Lyle Cameron's in the midfield, Luke McEwen's, like really, really good footballers. So there's no doubt it's putting them at a disadvantage in terms of how they probably want to play, how Tony Dock wants to actually play. Again, the bottom line is Dundee have had a wonderful season. They're in the top six now. There's been five cancellations. We can't be having this again. So whatever the punishments or the repercussions are, if there is games going to be cancelled next year, there needs to be something put in place. Again, somebody mentioned this three strike rule, that there's this, or is it points off, or is it a financial fine? Something needs to be put in place, because Jamie's right, it's a better game, it's a better product than what it looks like, and it doesn't look good when we're saying, what was it, the first time it was the only game in Britain that was called off. That's not a good look for our league.
Well, there is a disciplinary process underway, whatever that looks like, we'll find out. Thank you very much to Jamie for sharing his thoughts. Let me tell you about this before we go further.
Clyde One Live, celebrating the first 50 years.
It's getting closer, by the way. We've been talking about this for a while, but Friday the 31st of May is the date for your diary. Get it in there, and more importantly, make sure you've got your tickets. They are selling quickly, so make sure you don't miss out. Clyde One Live, it's part of our 50th celebrations that at this radio station, and we're taking over the OVO Hydro on Friday 31st, easy for me to say, of May. So Clyde1.com for the tickets. Make sure you're there. Amy McDonald, Tom Walker, Callum Beattie, Emily Sandy in Texas, the lineup. You might even grab a selfie with famous faces such as Gordon DL if you head along. I know that's such an incentive for you all, but please do. Clyde1.com.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Kenny Miller are here. For those of you watching on the live stream, there is only one, genuinely, there is only one pundit in our stable that could get a pen stuck in his headphones during the break. Are you okay over there?
I'm fine. Fine, yeah. I don't know what happened there.
And for those of you listening in radio, that makes no difference, but hopefully we painted the picture. And if anything, it's just a reminder that you really should subscribe to the YouTube channel at some point so you can see such calamities. You're Mario is what I'm calling you. Balotelli. Oh, why no. Always you? Because yeah. If you're not getting locked in the toilet, you're getting pens stuck in your headphones, you're making
fall off the
some
seats.
Sort of gaff, you fall off seats, you spilled your coffee all over this expensive desk a few months ago. Mm-hmm. It's just constant, it really is.
I should have the t-shirt, shouldn't I? Why me?
Aye, why always me?
Yeah. Right, let's go Robert in Neilston. How's it going, Robert?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. Fixtures are out today, Robert. What do you think?
Well, as a Rangers fan, I'm not particularly happy, but I'm not going to buy into the whole conspiracy theory, and I don't think there's necessarily any inherent bias, but I just genuinely, for the sake of sporting integrity, don't understand how they've come out. So if you have a look at the fixtures in terms of Celtic and Rangers, who they were due to face, and whether they were due to play home or away, if you played that out the way it should have happened in any other league, whereas you play them at home if you're still due to play them at home, or you play them away if you're due to play away again, what the only difference in the two is two fixtures between Rangers and Celtic. One is that Celtic are playing St Mirren at home for a third time, and Rangers are playing St Mirren away for a third time. My question is, why did they have to have it round the wrong way? Why would you do that? I don't get it.
Straightforward, isn't it? Yeah. Like you've got to play 19 games home, 19 games away. So there had to be, again, when the look at, you're expecting certain teams to be in, or the work off the previous season, is it? So what it is now Dundee, with Dundee, Kilmarnock and St Mirren effective, Rangers have played them all away twice already. But that means they've had, 17 games at home, 16 games away. So that needs to be levelled up. And to be fair, it was the only probably way that it was going to work, because you couldn't take, send Rangers back for me, back to Kilmarnock, but you also couldn't take that trip to Kilmarnock away for Celtic. And again, the whole fiasco with Dundee's pitch, you couldn't actually probably involve them in it either. So I think St Mirren is probably the only one that it needed to be. So I think that it's understand what Robert's saying, because there's
Richard.
You're getting, is it Richard? Sorry. So is it not? It's Robert.
Oh, there's two in the line, I'm sorry.
There you go. I'm bang on the ball here. Sure. So I think it's they had to have an extra game, and I think the St Mirren one's a fair one.
Yeah, Robert, I mean, look, no one's ever pretended the split was perfect. It always throws up the odd anomaly, but I'm a bit surprised at your tone, because it's about as close as we were going to get. As Kenny says, the priority first. The first priority needs to be trying to balance up how many home and away games you have.
But that's the point I'm making. So Celtic are due
Celtic have only played Hearts at home once, so they're due to play Hearts at home. That's fine.
Yeah.
They're due to play. They've only played Rangers at home once, so that's fine. Mm-hmm. Play Rangers home at once. But all the other teams that are left, they've only played them away once. So why are they getting an extra home game and the opposite for Rangers? I don't understand how you couldn't have just played those fixtures out the way they would have normally played out if you didn't have a split.
Because then you would be playing, at the end of the season, you would have played an unequal amount of home games versus away games. So that's the bit you have to redress that first as your priority, don't you?
I don't know.
No, of course. Listen, Richard, you started off by saying Robert. Robert, whatever your name is. Robert, you started off by saying, you know, don't buy into this theory and that theory. If we have a league then at the end of the season where teams have played different amount of home games and away games, you'd be on the phone, you know, complaining about that. As I've said, it isn't perfect, but this is not that controversial, Kenny. As you say, I was in the last few days, because your mind wanders when you're on this show, and I thought, can you imagine Celtic don't need to go to Kilmarnock again?
Couldn't happen.
These phone lines will blow up. I saw the fixtures today and I thought, do you know what? As we acknowledge, the split's never perfect. There's always going to be a team misses out here or there. But that's kind of fine. There's no drama.
And I said, I think the phones would have blew up also had Rangers had to go back to Dundee for a third time after all these shenanigans over the last 2 weeks. So I think St Mirren, when the fixture been reversed, I think it's the fairest way. Like you say, it's no perfect, but there has to. You can't have, for instance, in this situation, it would be Rangers playing 20 home games and 18 away games. And if Rangers then won the league, it's just carnage. You know, so there needs to be 19-19.
You must see that, Robert. I know you're a Rangers fan, but couldn't it get to the end of the season, Rangers play 20 home, 18 away?
Guys, I totally take the point. I take the point. But I suppose the point it leaves me with is the split cannot deliver sporting integrity. Either way, it can't. It can't deliver a proper, fair response. It can make the best of a bad job, but it can't deliver fairness. Look, I take the point. I mean, it's a good point you've made. Just quickly moving on, I've got another wee point, and it's just in relation to Gordon Dell. See, a few weeks ago, and I didn't catch the end of the discussion, there was discussion about when Gordon scored his first ever goal. Mm-hmm. And the point in the conversation I got to was it Dundee United or was it Celtic? Did you come to realise that actually his first ever goal was at home to Chesterfield?
What was it? Well done, Robert.
Robert, this guy doesn't even genuinely doesn't remember anything about his own career.
No, I don't.
Does that ring any bells though?
Yeah,
seriously, I now that you say it, how many times can you have played Chesterfield? It must be in your brain.
I'm sure I scored at Ibrox. Is that the one you're talking about, Robert?
It was a 1-1 draw in the Anglo-Scottish Cup.
At Ibrox.
And Rangers at Ibrox. And Rangers went on to play them away and get absolutely thumped 3-0.
That's right. Yeah, I was injured. I didn't play that.
He's beyond help.
Wasn't my fault. I was fast.
Well done.
I scored in the home leg.
I like the juxtaposition here, because I reckon of them all, I think you've got it down. You remember all the details.
He's
good for stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, you played a bit more recently than you, right enough. But still.
Do you remember last goal, everything?
Who was last goal for in my career was for Partick against Dundee United, got beat 4-1. First goal for Hibs was Stranraer when we had just been promoted. My first goal all in was Stenish Muir.
This is your life. Stenish Muir, yeah. So this turned into was your last Scotland goal, Wembley.
Absolutely.
Oh, what a nice way to sign off. Thank you to Robert, let's go. A picture of you in the live stream.
Chesterfield,
Look
at that. Handsome
done well, had the D right over his face there.
Oh, look at that handsome lad.
Let's squeeze in. This guy is Richard, I'm sure of it. Richard, take it away.
Yeah, certainly Richard, not Robert. And I'll kick off, if you don't mind, by just highlighting that Robert needs to concern himself a wee bit more with just getting the games played and picking up the points rather than where we'll be, who we'll be against, and sporting integrity in that sense. Give us the fixtures and let's go and win them. End of story. Right, on to my
good start, Richard.
Philip Clement, if you don't mind. Philip Clement has done next to nothing wrong. Come on, I've admired the guy. I've thought he's done some really good stuff with the club. But now he's made two massive errors. Number one, the lap of honour against Celtic. Rangers are the biggest team in Scotland.
and they celebrated a draw against their biggest rivals and the team most likely to put them out or take the league off them, if you like, end that dream. And they did a lap of honour. I was absolutely disgraced. I don't care if we come back for 3 or 4 nil down. You do not do a lap of honour after a draw in a title race. Unacceptable. Mm.
Just answer me this, Richard, because you'll go to more games than me, I'm sure. Do the teams not kind of generally walk round the pitch now anyway after every game? What I would concede, because a lot of people have made the point, maybe you still think they over-egged the celebratory element of it, but in terms of the kind of lap, is that not commonplace now?
Aye, but listen, see, for me, there's a time and place for it, right? And there's an acceptance of a good performance, there's acceptance of a good win. Maybe the team have taken a bit of thumping or lost a game and they sort of just acknowledge the fan support away from home, etc., right? That is acceptable. The celebration, it was a celebration.
Mm-hmm.
It was a celebration and it was a draw.
Yeah.
Right, as far as I was concerned, we threw the title away then, never mind the game at Ross County. And then my second issue with Philip Clement is charging up the tunnel away from shaking hands. I was on here maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago and said that see when the smaller teams put in a performance, we need to tip our hats to them and acknowledge them rather than lambast and slaughter the other team, i.e. Celtic or Rangers. I think Motherwell had actually just beaten Rangers and I came on and I said, look, hey, fair play, played us off the park. And I'll say the same against for Ross County, right? Brilliant, played brilliant. I think it was the third goal. The composure that boy showed was unreal. But Philippe Clement charging up the tunnel is just totally not the mindset and mentality that should be instilled into Rangers. It's unacceptable.
Let's go quickly in the celebrations because the handshake came up earlier and we're really late for Beat the Pundit. But did Rangers over-egg the celebration against Celtic? Is that now with hindsight because we know what happened against Ross County? Or what's your take on it all?
Yeah, I think you can get up in this because all they were doing was really thanking their fans. Because obviously they had to come and dig deep and get back into it. I don't agree with Richard.
I think Richard's view on that was that it was more than thanking the fans. He says he felt like it was a celebration.
Well, you'd need to. I obviously wasn't there, Gordon. I was in
we
the
saw
studio.
It on telly,
but I'm not going to get caught up. I disagree with Richard when he said that that's when he thought that they lost the league, because if they'd have won at Dingwall 1 tomorrow night, they're sitting a point clear.
2 points.
2 points, sorry, Kenny. They're sitting 2 points clear. So the league wasn't won at. Lost at Ibrox against Celtic, absolutely no chance. Some people that was at the ground would probably think that's fair sportsmanship for the players to come round. Whether they were egging it on a little bit, I don't know.
Listen, there was a few fist pumps. There was, in fact, quite a few fist pumps. So I understand that there was a celebratory kind of effect to that lap on. But it is commonplace. Rangers do that. You know, the players do it. Again, it's very, very rare that you actually lose or draw at home to Bournemouth. Normally, when you do every home game, they go around and they thank the fans. There probably was a little bit more in it based on what that game was, how it ended in terms of the injury time equaliser. There probably was a bit more celebrating going on than probably what a lot of Rangers fans would have liked.
Mm, thank you to Richard, and it's that time of the night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Oh, what a choice you've got tonight. You've got Kenny Miller, who's got a 100% Beat the Pundit record, or Gordon Dalziel, who doesn't. That's what faces you tonight on 01419511025, and your chance to Beat the Pundit is up next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Gordon Dalziel are here. It felt like that was a quick first hour because there is so much to talk about. We're still getting through the talking points from Rangers' defeat in Dingwall. What does that mean going forward? Because they're straight into a game against Dundee tomorrow, which is on, and it's at Dens Park. That's a talking point in itself. We've had the post-split fixtures announced. That's always a big talking point as well. And we've not even got round to Aberdeen's new manager, some of Scotland's injury concerns ahead of the Euros, and anything else that is on your mind. 01419511025. Call us right now whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Gordon Dalziel and Kenny Miller both here, both ready to take on Jack, who's in East Kilbride. How's it going, Jack?
Not bad, how are you?
Good, and here. Have you ever played this before?
No, but I was in the car with my pal the other week. Stephen, if you can remember.
All right, so were you helping him in the background?
What?
Nice question.
It's like almost like when you know, like if you're like the, I don't know, bassist or something in a band, and then you think you can be the front man.
Yeah,
you got to go out on your own.
He doesn't sound confident, does he?
No, I think he does.
Does he?
Jack's
doing myself now that I'm on.
Jack's going out on his own.
Yeah,
he's going for a solo, career.
Yep.
Right, okay, Jack. If it's heads, it will be 100% man Kenny Miller. If it's tails, it will be less than 100% man.
It's no good, Kenny.
Gordon Dale. It's great that you're both on together, because we do have the stat tonight, and that you've both had the same amount of wins this season. It's just that it's just that you've played double the amount of games.
I've played about 40 games.
33. Don't be harsh on yourself. Okay. Anyway, heads, it will be Kenny Miller. Tails, it will be Gordon Dale. And it is heads. There we are. You said, well, hold it up, just in case people doubt it, because you were the one that was. Did I say heads here?
Aye.
Oh no, it's tails. Sorry, yeah, Gordon Dale.
No, he's panicking.
No, it genuinely was. I held it up to the camera.
I didn't see it.
He saw. I'm glad he was here, because I said it wrong.
But I was going to have to go for 21 wins.
It was right there on the.
Every time I'm in this seat, you always go to.
I made the point. I held it up so you could see it.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Is he raging? Eh?
No,
it was a tail.
Come on,
get on.
I need
VAR. This is the beauty of this, because you're like Marvin Bartley, right? There is no hiding it.
No,
this time we're on the live stream. I tried to hold it for ages so that you could see it was tails. I just said heads. It was verbal diarrhea. It happens.
Yeah. Okay. Come on.
Why do you think Kenny corrected me?
We didn't know how to play, did you?
You're 21.
You're right to keep your 100%.
No problem.
Okay.
I want to get more wins than you. I would take them. No problem.
Right. I'm terrible
right,
in it.
Let's give. By the way, they're hard tonight as well.
Oh no.
Let's give Gordon DL some greatest hits radio to listen to. Jack, you know the drill. You've done the background act before. You're your own man this time. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. New Aberdeen boss Jimmy Telling is currently manages which club?
What, sorry, can you read that?
New Aberdeen boss Jimmy Telling currently manages which club? Quick!
My signal's gone.
Oh, this is a disaster. Right, scrap this. Let's start again. Bring Gordon Dale back.
No.
What is that?
This is a disaster.
It's a
disaster. His signal's gone. He can't really hear me. So I only read one question. So what was
he's done. 30 seconds. That's nothing to do with me.
It's the one question.
It was 20 seconds deep and I answered a question.
You cannot give him that.
You're not listening to me as usual.
Right, go.
I only read one question. I will scrap that first question. We'll move on, and we'll just make sure his signal's okay. We start again. It's not a problem.
Oh, no.
I mean, I thought it was because I nearly choked in my dinner reading the first question. But it
almost
was, luckily, it was
Jack's. What was the first question?
It was Jack's signal. Jack, can you hear us now?
That's an easy one as well.
You're all good.
Are we confident, Jack? Or is this Jack just playing mind games?
I think he was toiling.
Jack's listening back and getting the questions and getting the answers.
This is more controversial than the fixture release.
How much does this guy not listen?
See if I get beat tonight. I'm out of here.
I've only read one question, and that question will not get read again.
What do you mean, easy?
30 seconds. Give me the first question.
No.
I deserve it.
It defeats the purpose.
My signal's okay.
He does not listen, does he? It's
painful. Come on, let's go on with it.
Give Gordon DL greatest hits radio again. 30 seconds on the clock. Jack, no excuses about your signal this time, okay?
No, on you go.
Right, your 30 seconds starts now. In alphabetical order, who would be top of the Scottish Championship?
Our bro.
Which side won the Lowland League at the weekend?
East Kilbride.
What side did Leah Labada leave Celtic for?
Cincinnati.
Motherwell's potential new investor was vice president at which company?
Netflix.
Andy Halliday, Lyndon Dykes and David Fernandez all played for which club?
Livingston.
In what year did Nathan Patterson move from Rangers to Everton?
2021.
Peter Murphy is the manager of which SPFL side?
Peterhead.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon Dale. Can you hear us?
I was 45 seconds on the
day. Can I ask you a quick question before you go on to him, just to put him off a wee bit? Why does he make me put my earphones in? He takes them off and looks right in
I'll
the face.
I'll tell you why.
Knows.
Really boring, because I could hear ABBA coming through your mic because your headphones were sinister.
Give me the first question.
I thought it was more sinister.
Nothing sinister.
But by the way, the first one's easy. You'll get the first one.
Right.
You're not getting the first one because Jack didn't either. What are you not grasping about this? 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. In alphabetical order, who would be top of the Scottish Championship?
Abroth.
Which side won the Lowland League at the weekend?
East Kilbride.
What side did Leah Labada leave Celtic for?
Pass, can't remember.
Potential Motherwell investor was vice president at which company?
Netflix.
Andy Halliday, Lyndon Dykes and David Fernandez all played for which
Livingston.
Club? In what year did Nathan Patterson move from Rangers to Everton?
2019. Nah.
Peter Murphy's the manager of which SPFL side?
Peter who?
Murphy.
Edinburgh City.
Jack, what do you think? Oh, he signals
away. Oh, he signals away again. Give him an hour 45 seconds.
Jack, can you hear us?
Aye.
Good. How do you think it went?
I think I just scraped it. I'm not 100%, but
we'll find out.
Oh, no.
You are annoying me more than usual tonight, because you are not listening to me. He didn't get any more questions than you. He didn't get any longer than you. And he didn't get...
You were reading mine very slowly. You do that on purpose. Because you just want me to finish last. I know it.
Last week when this happened, I even gave you a charity tiebreaker. Yeah. That's how nice I am to you.
What was the first question?
The new Aberdeen boss, Yumi Thielen, or however you pronounce it, currently manages which
Elspur.
Club? Right,
one.
Right, let's go through them in alphabetical order. Who would be top of the Scottish Championship? You both went Arbroath.
Airdrie.
None of you got it.
Okay,
by the only reason, no, I've actually had that before. There you go.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
What are the chances? Because I didn't even check the questions in advance. Jack's from East Kilbride. East Kilbride won the Lowland League at the weekend. You both got it 1-1. None of you knew that Leah Labada went to
Atlanta.
Charlotte scored his first goal at the weekend. 1-1. Motherwell's potential new investor was vice president at Netflix. You both got it. Actually met him at the weekend.
Did you?
Sort of by chance. And I was out having a wee
next documentary, no?
Breakfast. Well, we spoke about this last night. We were saying, you know, what Netflix show would you name Fir Park after if you were going for the naming rights? Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like the whatever. The Ozark Arena or whatever.
Oh.
And then it got into like which Netflix program would he cast you in? But we ran into some difficulties because Naked Attraction and Married at First Sight are both Channel 4 programs.
Ah, I know. And I love maths.
They would be the ones that you would go for, really.
Yeah.
Married maths isn't now.
Maths, yeah. Maths. Yes. I'm right up with them.
Are you a big fan of that?
Massive. Watch it all the 38 episodes. Boom.
See, when you think about it, that genuinely would be the perfect show for you. We've spent years talking about your marital situation, and that must be the only variation of marriage that you've not done yet.
Yeah, I would like that. Oh. I'd like to be standing there and just turn round and see who my bride would be. It'd be brilliant, Kenny.
I've got a beautiful wife. Alone, mate. I'm happy.
Oh, if you got a stunner.
Oh my word. Before we get ourselves in any trouble, let's move on. It's 2-2. Andy Halliday, Lyndon Dykes and David Fernandez all played for Livy.
You get that?
Yeah, he did. Nathan Patterson moved from Rangers to Everton 2022. None of you got it.
No.
So we're level. Peter Murphy is the manager of which SPFL side? Jack said Peterhead. Is Peterhead's manager called Peter?
You said
Edinburgh City.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not a clue.
Annan.
So it is.
So we're off to the tiebreaker.
Oh, love a tiebreaker.
I'm terrible at tiebreakers.
Oh, this is an absolute...
I need this.
Okay, I'll read the question. I'll get Gordon DL to write his down. I'll then give you to give me your attempt, Jack, okay?
Hey, buddies.
Right. Your question is this. How many yellow cards have been shown in the Scottish Premiership this season as of the weekend there? So as of the 15th of April, how many yellow cards? Write it down.
It can't be.
Jack, what are you going for?
430.
430. What's your answer?
764.
And Kenny Miller's howling, laughing at you. What if I told you were only 14 out?
Yes!
750.
How do you like those apples, Jack?
Have
your red card for you tonight.
Yellow. Just a yellow.
Oh, wow. Yellow.
Jack, I can't believe he's done you like that. He's so close as well.
But how quick did he write it down?
This could be a normal time.
I know.
You should have lost your phone signal, mate, and then Googled it.
Oh, good
win for me. I'm back in track.
I'm glad I was on that tiebreaker.
Hard lines, Jack. Hard lines.
Oh, well.
Good man. Well done. Thanks for taking part.
Good, Jack.
You must be delighted with that.
I'm over the moon with that.
How quick was that guess as well?
Listen, I calculated it. Boom.
There's a wee steward's inquiry going on here.
I was going to say, we had that before.
You're joking.
Last week or something.
Don't give that information up.
Get him back. Get him back on the phone right now. I'm not having
that. No, I'm only kidding, man.
No, we have. Did we get it last week?
But it just went like that, bang. I know it's 7:50, so I'll just put 7:64.
I knew he'd be nowhere near it.
Did we, honestly?
No.
I've got a fear that we did.
No, but it's starting to ring a bell. I went 400 last. Was it goals or no goals? Send no. It wasn't any of the cards.
Are you sure?
Some guess.
I'm starting to panic.
By the way, I'm telling you right now, I'm claiming that. Jack,
got it. Nah, Mark Wilson. Mark Wilson's done you. He sent me a message saying we had that last week.
Tell him to be quiet.
I don't mean to cause a bit of a stushy whilst we're on air, like some sort of argument. Yet Blair has sent me a message.
Oh no, it's kicking off.
Any chance you lot in that production room aren't going to give me the tiebreakers that we had last week?
No wonder I
went. At least a couple of months ago, huh?
Blair, the yellow card, to get on change. Mark Wilson, Nate Jack back.
Tell him to be quiet. No, we're not getting Jack back.
He's back.
He's back.
No. Right, Jack.
What is it?
It's just been put straight through. Jack,
you're still in the game.
Jack, you've been cheated.
How?
Because we had that tiebreaker last week, and that's the only reason he got so close.
That's what the boy I'm with, she said. He was like, listen to me. He was shouting the number, but I wasn't trusting him.
Right, here we go. Tiebreaker number two.
Oh my goodness, here we go.
Bit easier this time. A bit easier. How many Scotland caps does Darren Fletcher have? Quickly, write it down, Gordon DL. Okay, quickly. What are you going for, Jack?
67.
How many?
67.
Oh, this is a disaster. They've both said the same thing.
Oh, my God.
They've both said the same thing. This cannot get any worse. I'm going to need a third tiebreaker question.
Do you want me to go with something different? I go 68.
Oh, no. I'll go 68. No, this is an absolute nightmare.
You seen my paper. You watching this on YouTube?
No.
Honestly. This is ridiculous.
Give that guy a ball. I'm fed up with him. I'm fed up listening to him. Just give him a ball and get him off.
Ludicrous.
This is the longest beat the pundit in the history of this show.
This is he's 80. He's 80 caps. What's going on here?
Right, go and get another question.
Would you want me to just keep plucking questions out of you know where?
Right, we'll call it a draw.
Right,
half a ball.
Let's go again, Gordon. Very quickly, because I'm loving you cheating. How many Scotland caps does Scott Brown have? Go, write it down. Quickly, Gordon DL. What are you going for, Jack?
67.
I said the same number. Gordon's gone 64. It's 55. Gordon DL.
See you, Jack.
Worst ever. Worst ever. Honestly. Brutal.
I deserved that because I got the yellow card question.
I think that should count as 20 and a half ones for me.
You're happy with that, mate, aren't you?
Oh, you've done well.
I can't believe he went 67 again.
And I can't believe you gave up the information.
Do you want to know what? The lack of support you've got from your colleagues instantly. Mark Wilson and Simon Donnelly straight on. That question was used last week.
They love to hate you, mate.
There was no way I could have got you brought it attention.
It was too quick.
You weren't supposed to say
that. Could have just said
you brought the attention.
You didn't need to tell him you knew it.
I got a one anyway.
And you should have played it cool, tried to get it a bit further away. You were only 14 out.
I know, but I did think I knew it was in the 700s.
By the way, there was a few bookings at the weekend, so you never knew it. Bang on,
but the best bit was I'm watching your face laughing, thinking I was stupid.
Miles off it. I would have went about 300, 400.
Unbelievable. Let's get back to the
One's a win.
Kevin is a Celtic fan, and we're going to speak to him next. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL, Kenny Miller and myself have just about recovered from that Beat the Pundit shambles. My apologies to Ian, Trust Clement, David Taylor, Shannon, Graham, Spongy and the 300 other people who went, you used that tiebreaker last week. I just read so many of these questions, they start to sort of blend into one.
Do you think if we hadn't flagged it up, they would have noticed?
Oh, 100%.
Do you?
Our listeners.
It was Wilson. Wilson's done you in.
Oh, no. Look, I've told you, it's not just that. Look at all those people. No, they tweeted that before you.
Oh, did they?
Before you said it.
So I said, so honesty was my best way forward. And I was honest. Well, after I get
everything.
After I
get rumbled.
After I get rumbled.
I just want to talk about football an hour already. Back into this. Let me give you this question before we go any further.
Full-time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Right, this needs to be quick. Don't even give me any answers at the moment because we want to move on. Thanks to Matt and Kosai for sending it in. Since the turn of the century, 8 players have been Scotland captain, but only for 1 game. Who are they? Since the turn of the century, 8 players have been Scotland men's captain, but only for 1 cap. Who are they? We'll get back to it. Kevin's in Motherwell. Kevin, as a Celtic fan, we've not had too much reaction really to the weekend. How do you feel now about the title race?
Good evening, by the way, Ezo.
Hello.
I think we are now firm favourites. I think it's probably 70-30 in our favour now. I didn't expect Rangers to drop points at Ross County in the manner that they did. I think with them having to come to Celtic Park and the fact that they've only beat us once in the last 10 Old Firm games, I think that we're Firm favourites now. I thought we played brilliant second half against St Mirren. The first half wasn't good enough, but the players showed the fight, the desire, the ambition to come in that second half and blow St Mirren away. Which is something that Rangers don't have. I come on last week and I said Celtic players have got the experience of winning leagues. When the chips are down, we will deliver, and Rangers players just don't have it. That was before the Ross County game, and lo and behold, it's happened already. I didn't expect it to happen, but it's happened already. They've failed to deliver again, and I don't think that they'll deliver at Celtic Park. I think they will beat them. I think the league's firmly in our hands now.
Do that pedantic thing where, you know, literally pick Kevin up on his words and see if we agree. Are Celtic firm favourites? Are you going that far? Are they just favourites? Would you remove the firm? What's your?
I'm going slight favourites.
Slight, okay.
Slight favourites. I think Rangers at the weekend handed them that title of being slight favourites, because obviously Kevin talks there about, you know, I said on Saturday, I really do think the game at Celtic Park will be a teller. Because I think Rangers, if they'd have beat Ross County and beat Dundee tomorrow night, they've got an opportunity to go there just for a draw. And as Kenny touched on earlier, it's a lot easier going there, especially with the record that Rangers have had recently against Celtic, to try and get a draw rather than pick up 3 points. Now, people will look at the fixture list and think there'll be points dropped somewhere along the line. I don't think there'll be too many, Gordon, because if you look at Celtic...
Okay, well... Both teams win every game apart from the game against each other.
I actually thought they would have even before Sunday. I couldn't see them dropping any points. So what do I know? Because Ross County then go and put on top performance and beat Rangers for the first time. But I still think it's going to be, they're going to really, really struggle to, or I don't think they'll struggle to get the wins. So I always say that those two Old Firm games will be absolutely telling and where the league title ends up in May. And even more so now, it's winner of that game. If there's a winner, for me, wins the league. If it's a draw, I think that's why Celtic are slight favourites, because they've got that opportunity.
Yeah, it just feels like we're maybe overlooking the other fixtures, Gordon. How confident right now would you be of either? Well, it's going to be Celtic on this occasion because of the fixtures, but winning at Rugby Park?
Yeah, well,
that's not supposed to be a criticism of Celtic. Look how good Kilmarnock have been.
Yeah, Kilmarnock have been excellent. You've got to say, I was there last time, Gordon. Celtic were really poor on the day, and Kilmarnock deserved their victory. I've got to say that. But if you took Celtic's run just now, you take Rangers' fixture out of the equation, it's 4 games they have to, that I'm saying they're going to win. Now, I do believe Kilmarnock will be a difficult game, but I think if they get through the Rangers game and they're still top of the league, I think Celtic will get the players and the ability, especially with their Hatate coming back, McGregor will be back, Carter Vickers has been back. So I think Celtic will go to Kilmarnock and turn that disappointing defeat around and get a victory. So you're only looking at 4 fixtures for Celtic, really. Rangers, on the other hand, they have got to win tomorrow night. They've got to beat Dundee, and then you look at their fixtures, and it comes down for me for a Celtic game.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin, did it feel like it? Even what you saw from Celtic second half at the weekend, and you know, Rio Hatate coming back, does it feel like it's all heading in more of a positive direction, albeit not great news on Dyson Maeda?
It seems to me, aye, apart from Dyson, aye. I think it seems to me very slowly it's coming together for Celtic, getting Hatate back, getting McGregor back into the side, getting Carter Vickers is massive for us. It's been huge. That's slowly coming together for us. Whereas Rangers, listening to the Rangers fans, I don't watch Rangers games, so I wouldn't know, right? But listening to the fans, it seems that they're slowly coming apart at the seams. They're wanting all their defenders out. They're wanting Tavernier dropped again. They're wanting the big boy at the back, Goldson, dropped again. So it just seems that it's not going quite their way. I know it's only been two games in a row, but it's just seemed to fell apart a wee bit for me at Rangers. I thought they... The over-the-top lappy honour for a draw at home against Celtic seems to have come back and bite them in the bum a wee bit, because they've then went out against Ross County and they've absolutely choked. And I just thought us firm favourites, mate, just based on the fact that our old firm record is so strong. I mean, Kenny Miller's in the studio, I can't remember, I don't think Kenny Miller's ever picked Celtic to win an old firm game, from what I can remember, but, and he probably won't pick us again at Celtic Park, but Rangers have only beat us once in the last 10. And it was a meaningless game at Ibrox when the league was already wrapped up. I just don't think Rangers players have got the mentality to come to Celtic Park and beat us. I don't think that they've got it. And I don't think Kenny can sit there or anybody can sit and prove me wrong, because where have they shown that mentality to get out of the line? They've constantly failed.
Come on, Kenny. Why'd you never predict Celtic to win games? I wasn't aware of this stat.
I'm predicting a draw. So listen, I'm not. The stats are there. 1-1 and 10.
You predicted a draw last.
I absolutely did, yeah. But I said it would be 2-2. I said 2-2. Yeah, so I wasn't far away. But listen, it's going to be a tough ask for Rangers now to go there to Celtic Park and probably have to win the league. And that's why, again, going back to Yvonne, previous caller, that's why it has been really damaging, because Rangers could have went there, had to beat Ross County, beat Dundee, and dealt with their other games. That they could have went to Celtic Park and only needed a draw to keep that advantage. So it's going to be a big task. But again, I'll say it again, had you offered any Rangers fan the opportunity to win the league if you beat Celtic at Celtic Park post-split 5 months ago, every single one of them would have ripped your hand off for it.
I think I don't grudge Celtic fans the optimism, Gordon, of thinking, well, if it does come down to that head-to-head, we've got the superior head-to-head record and it's at Celtic Park and therefore we're confident. On the flip side, it is just, it's like, if it was to come down to that, by the way, because I'm very keen that we don't disrespect the other teams, it is still it's a one-off football match then between the first team in the country and the second team in the country. It's not exactly ludicrously outlandish to suggest that Rangers could win it, albeit Celtic would be favourites. So I think that's why people, you know, it's officially close, albeit I still get why Celtic fans are confident. That's I wonder if that's where the difference lies between firm favourites, slight favourites. You know, if it was to come down to one game, it's not going to be the biggest shock in the world if Rangers were to win it, albeit Celtic favourites.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Kenny said just there and now about if you're a Rangers fan, if you were in that position going into Celtic Park, you would certainly have taken that situation just now. But it has got to be difficult. I do think it will come down to this game, Gordon. I really do. I know that we're not being disrespectful to the other teams, but I just think it's too important now with the split. I look at the Celtic's fixtures and you've got three at home and two away.
You see that stuff though. See, if you're not at it, you're not at it. Sunday was important. The importance of Sunday didn't help Rangers. The importance of it doesn't help you if you get your job wrong.
The importance, it could hinder you, and I think that's the point that Kevin's making. You know, is that he doesn't think that this Rangers team have what it takes to go and see it through. You know, again, saying they choked on Sunday. Listen, they never performed and they got beat, and they deserve to get beat. You know, I think that's the point, because the importance of the game can affect you in different ways. You know, and that's where it is going to be intriguing, because the one thing I would say about Celtic, they've won was 11 league titles out of 12, and whatever. They've never been pushed and it's never got to this stage either. So I still think Rangers can ask Celtic players the question as well, but they need to now deal with their own games. You know, and that's one thing, again, it is in both teams' hands. If you win the games, you win the league. It's just as simple as that. Listen, it's far easier said than done, but I like Gordon, I believe it will come down to that game, and I'll probably, Rangers will probably need to win it.
I mean, pick whichever one of the fixtures you want, Gordon. If it was to go down to the final day, Celtic at home to St Mirren, at the same time, Rangers away to Hearts.
Yeah.
Some brilliant days to look for. I always think that last midweek card is a really interesting one as well, because that's Rangers Dundee Tuesday the 14th, but then it's the next night, so it's that old Rangers go first, Celtic go away to Kilmarnock. On paper, the most difficult of the post-split fixtures. So there's some really, we're in for some big days and nights ahead.
Yeah,
we?
Yeah. If you were looking at, there's got to be, take the Rangers game, Celtic out of the equation. If you're looking at slip-ups for Celtic, you would look at Kilmarnock. That'd be the obvious one. If you're looking at Rangers, you've obviously got a couple of, you know, Hearts away. And if you had to go to Tynecastle, and you don't get a lot of tickets there, so it wouldn't be a big Rangers support cheering them on. That would be a real difficult game for Rangers at the end. I think Celtic at St Mirren, if that was a case of the league decider, then you'd fancy Celtic very strongly to turn St Mirren over at Celtic Park. But I keep going back to it, Gordon. I think that all eyes must be on Dens Park tomorrow night for Rangers. I think they've got to react to Sunday. I think the manager will demand that. They cannot afford to slip up. We know the pitch isn't going to be great. We know Dundee are a decent side, top six finish. They're doing very, very well indeed. I think the Rangers fans are looking for a bit of character from
the team
tomorrow.
Thank you to Kevin. Let's bring in Stuart, who's a Rangers fan. Stuart, anything from the post-split fixture scheduling that jumps out for you?
Yeah, it's the two games, Celtic away to Kilmarnock and Rangers away to Parkhead. But the last time Rangers won at Parkhead was October 2020. So one of them is trying to beat the other. So Celtic have not beat Kilmarnock all season and Rangers haven't beat Celtic all season. So it's come down to the two games. So it's interesting, 175 times Celtic have won and 171 times that Rangers have won the Old Firm games. So it's really tight.
I'm going to write that down for the next tiebreaker. yeah, again, you can definitely get too deep into the scheduling and in what order, but maybe that is something, you know, for Celtic in particular, if we're talking about, if we are saying they are favourites for, you know, the home game against Rangers, the significance maybe of that coming before the Kilmarnock game. You know, if they both take care of their business and Celtic win the game against Rangers, yeah, it then leaves a bit of it leaves margin for error in theory going to Rugby Park in the next game, whereas if that was, you know, beforehand, maybe it puts more pressure on.
I think it does, and I think again you can discard the game and just look at that Kilmarnock game individually, but I don't, you can, because the result in that Celtic Rangers game is going to directly impact the mentality of either group going into their next fixture. This is what's brilliant about this time of the season. You're not just talking about, oh, you need to go and win a game and you've maybe got 30 games to go. Now you lose that game and everything that's on that game and how important it will be, it's going to directly affect how you're going to be approached that next game, because you could, if whoever loses that is going to be on a massive, massive downer, because they're going to know that they've probably just gave up a league title. So how they then approach that next game, and again, from a Celtic perspective, having to go down to Kilmarnock and definitely win if they were to lose that game, or by the way, go to Kilmarnock and potentially go and win a league.
From your experiences though, how important is it? It's fine for us, I think, to do this. We can speculate away till we like, but how important is it that the players don't fall into that trap? I'm assuming you've played in title races where it's the games that you don't expect teams to drop points in that they do it. Would that be fair in some of the ones you were involved?
Well, listen,
Celtic Inverness, I guess, would be a
like the one that was super close. Was, yeah, I think that year it was both teams actually drew it to Hibs as well. Mm-hmm. I think 2008-2009 we beat Celtic at Ibrox. We had to win, by the way. We're 4 points back. We won 1-0. Stevie Davis scored, and then after that game both teams dropped points to Hibs at Easter Road. So you've done the hard bit, you've beat your biggest rival and you've got that step closer, and then you go and drop points in the next game or the game after. So listen, every game's so, so important, there's no doubt. But I really believe at that Celtic Rangers game on the 11th of May, it's going to shape exactly how the team, the group, the players are going to be feeling going into these last two fixtures. Let's say, for a Celtic perspective, if they were to win, they would be going to come out to win a league. You know, and that changes the whole thing, rather than if it's a draw or if Rangers were to win, it would change the whole mentality of that game.
Is there anything in the scheduling, Gordon, the order of these fixtures or the venues that's changed your thoughts in the title, or do we get a bit too deep into that stuff?
I think we get a bit too deep. There'll be pressure on every game, of course it will. because it's very, very tight indeed, and especially if Rangers go tomorrow night and get 3 points. But I'm with Kenny. I've looked at those fixtures. Yes, there's some difficult games in there. You've got to handle the pressure. You've got to go and, you know, win your games. Whether you play bad or play well, doesn't matter. It's all about 3 points. But I agree 100%. I think the 11th of May will probably decide who's going to
lift the title. What about you, Stuart? Based on what you saw at the weekend and the fact that the game's on at Dens and the fixture list all rolled into one, what does that do for your confidence that Rangers can win the league?
Well, I think it'll be the morning eight. It's going to be interesting. I think Rangers will score more than 3 goals tomorrow night. Definitely. But I think it's going to get down to that Celtic game and it's going to be tight. It might even be a last minute goal, between the 88s or whatever injury time. It's going to be one of the ones I've not seen for a long time.
I think tomorrow is a fascinating one because if we're talking on paper, Dundee have had a good season. If you get promoted and finish sixth, that's a good season. You throw in the pitch, which is in theory, you know, make it more difficult. But they've not really been one of the teams that's managed to cause issues for the big two. Obviously 7-1, but that was at Celtic Park. But even at Den, Celtic went up there and won 3-0. I think Rangers went up there and won 5-0. Right. Sometimes you get that, don't you? You can be good against the other sides, but you're not quite as equipped at making life difficult for the bigger teams.
Yeah, I expect Rangers to win tomorrow. I don't think it'll be a 5-0. I expect Rangers to win because even at the 5-0, Rangers are in a better place now. They're a better team than they were there. But I think where the manager will be making sure of the commitment. I think that Sunday was a big lesson. I think he must have been really disappointed in some of the players and their attitudes. They can't afford that tomorrow night because obviously Dundee will be wound up for it. They'll realise that Ross County got a bit of joy by getting in Rangers players' faces and putting them under pressure. So I expect Rangers to go up there and be a different outfit. I think Rangers will win that game tomorrow.
We didn't dwell on it too long. Thanks to Stuart, by the way. We're not dwelling on it because of the shambles that was Beat the Pundit, but your full-time teaser tonight, since the turn of the century, 8 players have captained Scotland once and only once. You got any Kenny?
Hanley?
Right up your street. Hanley, no.
McGregor?
Yep, Callum McGregor against Kazakhstan. That was not a great night. Let's forget about it and move on.
Kieran Tierney?
Yep. Against Netherlands, November 2017.
Keep going, mate. You've got,
I've got one more. Scott McKenna.
Yeah, Mexico. Remember those two games? McKenna. Remember the Mexico.
No, but you never could stick your neck on the line. You won't do it.
I never commit it.
We'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Gordon Dalziel are on the home straight. They're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Very quickly, thanks to Matt in Kilsyth and thanks to Universal Interiors East Kilbride. We're asking you for, since the turn of the century, the 8 players who've been Scotland men's captain but only for one cap. And good response on Twitter. Stephen Roy's chucked a couple in. One's right, one's wrong. Matthew's onto something that has been mentioned on the show before. I think you're going to get that one, Kenny Miller.
Yeah, Stephen Presley.
Do you not remember a big debate about whether he had or hadn't captained Scotland?
Nope.
Well, that took place a few months ago. Stephen Presley. I stand corrected. Sorry to Stephen Roy. Stephen Roy's other guess is correct.
I feel I've not really offered much.
Not offered anything.
I'm going
actually
to go Scott McTominay.
That's the one that Stephen sent in. Well done. 3 to get.
Was Jackie McNamara a captain of Scotland?
He was. Well done. Sweden again, apparently November 2004.
I'm out now, mate.
2 to get before the end of the show. So hang fire and we will try and get them. I like this from Steph, the Glaswegian boy, who's got a picture of the job centre and says, "The Beat the Pundit question setters tomorrow morning." Job centre. I'll take my, I don't mind my share of responsibility. I possibly should have remembered that we had it, but I just read so many of these questions.
Yeah,
they just fade into.
There's just a little bit of honesty in the studio tonight.
The emergent. No, I think you knew you had been rumbled.
Well, I had, yeah, he rumbled me.
I think that's what it is.
It was how quick and then how far away I actually thought it was. I thought, that's no normal, that. He just zoomed straight in there to 750. Thought, but it would be better if you went 751, actually. Just thought 751.
Yeah, he was very sure of it, wasn't he? Let's check these phone lines, see if we're going to squeeze anything else in before the end of the show. 01419511025. You can still get in touch. Another big story doing the rounds. It feels like there's so much going on today, but I do think this is one that we certainly should give more attention to than we have. It's that Aberdeen have got a new manager. I mean, not right now, but he will take over. Jimmy Tillin, is that how we're pronouncing it?
I'm saying Jimmy.
Jimmy Tillin, I think.
Jimmy Tillin, something along those lines.
Yeah. It's been announced. He's been appointed essentially. He'll take charge in the summer. The Elfsborg boss has been kind of in the pipeline for quite a while now. In fact, let's get an Aberdeen reaction first, and then I'll bring you two in on it. Glenn is on the line from the Red Tinted Glasses podcast. Glenn, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks. You've got your man. Are you happy with that appointment? What do you make of it?
I am happy. You know, I've said a lot on the podcast that I wanted the club to go out and be ambitious and kind of break the mould of the usual types of manager we see appointed in the Scottish Premiership. And albeit we've had to bide our time, but I'm certainly excited by the appointment, albeit we now still have to wait a couple more months before he gets here.
Is that, because of where we are now, is that a bit easier to stomach? I would imagine on the day Barry Robson gets sacked, if I say to you, you'll need to wait to the end of the season for a new manager, you're probably not very happy about that, but now it's kind of played out. Have you made your peace with it?
A little bit, I would say, because to be honest, I was intrigued by the appointment of Neil Warnock. Obviously, it didn't play out the way
Warnock, sorry, my apologies.
Yeah. No, it's okay. But, you know, we've also had to bide our time to get the permanent appointment in Jimmy Thielen. And I don't know if there's a compensation clause or what that's preventing him coming now, but if it works for both parties, obviously Peter Leaven's done a good job in his interim spells, of course, over the course of the season. So as long as he keeps us up, because I know there'll be a few fans potentially looking over their shoulder and guide us to Scottish Cup final this weekend, we would tick a lot of boxes.
I always feel like we get hung up on profile of manager, as if every manager from that profile is going to be the same. We talk about it should be a young manager, or it should be an experienced manager, or it should be a manager that knows the league.
He's got to
be the best guy for the job, Glenn. I suppose is that the hope? It is a slightly outside of the box appointment based on what we're used to, but that doesn't really mean anything.
No, definitely, and I think, you know, there'll be people in Scottish football scared by this appointment, given the sense that it's new, unknown, exciting. But I think for Aberdeen fans, obviously, you know, you mentioned kind of young managers and experienced managers. We've tried that with Stephen Glass, Barry Robson, and we've been burnt with that. So this still comes with a bit of risk. But, you know, I've got to praise the board because they've certainly come under criticism over the last couple of years. They've waited patiently, got the man that most fans have been excited by. And now it's over to the fans to be patient. I think that's going to be key next season, because it might not be an instant miracle that Jimmy can work, and we'll see what backing the board give him over the summer.
What do you two make of it?
It's an interesting one. I think Aberdeen have went about their business in the correct way now. They took a long time. There was a bit of unrest up there. There's still a couple of wins just to keep them, you know, pressure away from them. It'll be interesting to see what he brings. I'll tell you the first thing you'll moan about when it comes to Aberdeen and Scottish football will be VAR. I don't think they have it in Sweden.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the first thing he's got to moan about. But I think most of the Aberdeen fans are just happy now that, you know, it's been confirmed. They've got a manager in. They're looking forward just to getting to the end of the season and then planning. And for Aberdeen, who are a decent-sized club, if they back the manager and he produces the goods, because he'll really have to, because they've got a knack of, you know, not getting the appointments right lately. So he's really got to be backed. He's got to, and I think the lad, who is it from the Red Tinted Glasses?
Glenn.
Glenn's right. I think Aberdeen fans will need to be patient and just support him and see what he brings.
Listen, I think when I've seen the kind of the situation kind of develop where getting him now or having to wait the end of the season, I was thinking, you know, see if he's the right guy. Just wait. You know, if you believe he's the right guy, and I believe there was a real strong pursuit to get him. You know, they've had to go and go all out to get him. He was clearly the man that they wanted. So I didn't want to like them to kind of, okay, well, if we can't get them now because they made the statements, we're far down the line and we're close to an appointment. No, no, just wait. And if he's the right man, give Peter Leaving it to the end of the season. You're going to have a... It's going, listen, anybody could be in charge and you'd probably not beat Celtic at the weekend. Listen, you might. But again, it's probably more Celtic will win. But I just wanted them to make sure, no go away for Jimmy Telling because he wasn't going to come now. So I think they've done the right thing. They've took their time. They've got their man. And it remains to be seen if he's the right man.
Yeah, let's thank Glenn for his time. I didn't realise how late we were. Maybe we'll catch up again, Glenn, because that was cut a bit shorter than I would have liked. But we're almost out of time, so let's do it again at some point. That was Glenn, and you can hear more from him on the Red Tinted Glasses podcast. Since the turn of the century, 8 players, Scotland men's captain for one game only. Who are they? Presley, McNamara, Tierney, McKenna, Callum McGregor, Scott McTominay.
Moza, James Morrison.
Yep. Did you play Croatia June 2013?
I did not. I was injured. 1-0.
I like that.
I think it was 1-0.
And the last one is very tough because remember, there's always a clue in the question since the turn of the century. So just we're going after, way back. Yeah. Tough this. Although, right, if you were to
initials,
think of,
we'll get them.
Prominent players from the late 90s, early 2000s, this would be one because your obvious ones, you know, like McAllister or Hendry, they would have captained it, you know, a fair few times. Which other players played a
Barry Ferris?
A noteworthy role at France 98. So Hendry was captain. We know Boyd was there, scored the own goal. Who else was
scored a goal?
Yeah.
Lob.
And also
Burnley.
Burnley. Craig Burnley.
Craig
Burley. Thank you, Gordon DL. Thank you, Kenny Miller. Big night in the Premiership tomorrow. We're back from 6. Make sure you join us then.
Can you get out of the clicking?